We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy Daniel Kuzer. And Dan, you know, for about 55 minutes this week, I thought we were going to get a victory pod, and as we will talk about it, didn't go that way.
Who knew? Who knew a soccer game is not 45 minutes? I thought we were done. I thought it was over. And there was more to be had, LA said. So
you want to know what's funny? Is I almost text you at halftime talking about how good things were going. And I was like, I can't do this because if I do this and it goes poorly, then I'm going to get blamed for why it went poorly. So I consciously decided I'm not going to text him. And then once we see this out, then I'll text him.
But you thought it. So that's still, you still thought it. And the universe was like, this bitch.
Probably. That's exactly right. The only thing I actually did text you was about an hour after the game. It was one word. All it said was stupid.
I know. I think I text you when I woke up from my 2 a.m. piss. I think
that's a regular occurrence.
No, but when I hydrate later in the night, I'm usually drinking water on the way home from those games.
Yeah,
not any fun.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say you might need to go to your doctor because every day at 2 a.m.
Listen, I got a baby bladder though. That is, I do go to the bathroom about once an hour. It's a situation.
That also means you're hydrated.
Well, true. Yeah.
Stay hydrated. It was not a fun game for the last 25 minutes or so. We'll talk about that. We do get to maybe talk about a U.S. men's national team victory and some craziness that happened in that game. We'll maybe hit on that.
In that game or in the stands where it was a freaking mayhem.
It was a war zone?
Fights, bro.
People, you see the tweet going around of the dude who's got blood streaming down his head, and he's like, someone threw I think it was a beer can filled with batteries, and it hit me in the head.
And he got staples in the head. Like, dude, these are supposed to be, I imagine sometimes like shit popping off in a stadium and like me just grabbing my wife and saying, okay, let's get out of here. Not like that's what you do. Time to go.
Yeah.
It's just, man, you think you're having fun and it turns into that.
Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff that we'll talk about from that game. Not to throw a little jab at our good friend Chris's way. I know he's a Cowboys fan, but I did see a tweet that was like, oh, UN's men's national team has now won more trophies in AT&T Stadium than the Dallas Cowboys have.
That's true. That is
Cowboys
true.
Fans.
Chris is a very loyal Cowboys fan. We don't know why. We don't know. He just, you know, he adopted them around like the Emmitt Smith era, and he just kept with them.
It's one of his flaws.
Yeah, we love him and we hate him. It's what it is.
Yep, he and I were not on speaking terms when the Packers were playing. No. That's, we were fine.
I mean,
I was even like better after. Yeah. I was like, this was great, wasn't it? And he's like, no.
We're not. He was like, new number, who this?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's Jordan Love? And I was like, well, now you know.
Now you should tell.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. People see it peeking over the camera there. By the time you listen to this, you know, the game will be over. But I got to rep USC because USC women's basketball, they're hosting KU tonight when we're recording this in the NCAA tournament. And, it's not often that USC is the number one next to their name when it comes to basketball, so got to rep it. So we'll see.
It's
we'll
pretty
see
how cool. 9 o'clock, you say, huh?
It's a little late.
Good.
Welcome to my life with West Coast sports.
Hey, that you ain't saying nothing, man. KU played at 9 o'clock last freaking Thursday or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that was a time.
Yeah. So, but before we get into the game, we do have a couple of new reviews this week to get to. You want to go take the first one?
We do, man. Check this out. Mick772 said, this is actually some good, by the way, some good info, like some good feedback, not just about the pod.
Yep.
But it said, just waiting for summer transfer window. 5 stars for the pod. Love the show. Not too worried about the slow start, quote, slow. We're playing some tough teams. San Jose isn't among the best, but they're a lot better than 0 points. And we have one, maybe two designated players that could be added in the summer. We're going to get one at most, but imagine this team with a high-quality number 10 added to it. Decent depth on the back and front lines. If they can add that high-quality number 10, we'll have a little depth at midfield, too. Mick, I agree, man. Or lady. I don't know. Mick could go either way, probably. But, yeah, I mean, dude, we don't talk about that enough. Like, we could probably most likely will add a DP this summer of some sort.
I mean, there's been talks from Peter about not only the roster restrictions from MLS in terms of salary opening up, but they've been saying for a while they've been pursuing a player. A couple things have fallen through is what he said. So, but yeah, I would not at all be surprised if during the summer window they do add a designated player. I think as we'll talk about in the game, it might not be a bad idea to add a designated player who can play a number 10 or along that front four attacking spots, because when you have some depth and some quality there and maybe change things up a little bit, some good things can happen. But yeah, thank you, Mick. Appreciate that.
Appreciate you.
And we did get another review, also 5 stars.
Two.
My goodness. Two reviews this week. This one's from Paramedic 15900. Says, love the show. I listen to multiple SKC and KC Current podcasts. This is one of my favorites. Always look forward to hearing your show. Keep up the great work.
Love to hear it.
So mentions Currently as well, which check out if you're not listening to Currently every week. You got to do it with Dan and Chris.
Got to do it, man. If you guys are listening to this, we're supposed to have a very special guest on Wednesday's show, so make sure to tune in. If it falls through for some reason, you know how things happen, then I'm sorry. Thanks for listening, but we're supposed to. We'll see what happens.
That's awesome. Heading into a big Angel City game on Saturday.
I know it. Undefeated team, man.
Should be fun. Let's talk a little bit about what we were getting into this week. I didn't verbalize this because I didn't want to jinx anything, and like I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, in the words of Michael Scott.
A little bit.
And
slightly stitious.
We mentioned last week heading into the LA Galaxy game that this was not like a surefire 3-point win. I felt confident going into the San Jose game that we were going to come out of there with 3 points. I did not feel confident going into the Galaxy game that we were going to come out with 3 points. It to me felt like, and swear to God, you know, scout's honor, when someone asked me in the press box, what do you think is going to happen in this game? I said 2-2 draw. I think we're going to get a 2-2 draw. I think both teams are going to score, but I think it's going to end a 2-2 draw. And I was almost right.
Yeah, you were close.
But I wasn't.
Except it ended in heartbreak, so.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at sort of how the teams were sort of playing, there were some parallels between the two teams, both 1-3-0 coming in, undefeated. But the one thing that you couldn't do if you're Sporting KC was have a loss, because you have a big win at home the week before. You feel like you're getting things back on track. So you need to at least minimum get a result, preferably a win tonight. But were you feeling at all the same kind of nerves that I was heading into this game?
Dude, pretty pumped for one. I got to tell you, I had my early bird rewards that day. I got to go down to the field club, enjoy some little snackums, got myself a little wine glass full of jelly beans for the road.
Jelly beans are vegan. Didn't think about that.
I mean, potentially, probably. You know, sometimes they put beeswax in them, but sometimes really. You got to be a freegan. If something's free and you're questioning it, okay, maybe it's beeswax, maybe it's gelatin, whatever. Yeah. You got to pick your battles here.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I have a little cup full of jelly beans.
Were you sipping it?
They were little jelly bellies. Yeah, yeah. Got big old fingers, you know.
Used to swish them around, yeah. And getting notes of oak.
Well, it was fun to kind of talk to this other couple as we were kind of eating our crudités and all that, and our accoutrements and housemade chips. I don't know if you get those up where you are in the press box. They have house-made potato chips, and they're very good.
Okay.
But I was telling, you know, I'm like, how are you guys feeling about the game? And they're like, oh, I think we'll be good. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like we should worry a little bit. They got some young attacking power. But, I mean, when we went up 2-0, man, I was like, I'm still not comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be 3. That 2-0, dangerous score in sports. We all in soccer know that. It's what it is. But I got to go out on the field, watch some warm-ups out there on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Saw our friend Jacob Peterson. Not sure if he noticed me, but I said hello, and he looked a little anxious. he just walked on by.
He's working
busy.
In the scouting department, I think, for Sporting now.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. I said, hey, Jake. And I was like, ah, it's Jacob. God, it's not Jake.
Probably why
it's
he Jacob. Looked at you. He goes,
that's why he looked at me weird. Son of a bitch. I'll get it right next time. But, dude, watching the game, man, it's from the opening to the end. Like, it was a tale of two halves, right?
It was a tale of, like, 65 minutes and 25 minutes, honestly.
Yeah, it's insane. When I saw the lineup, right? Okay, my phone was in my pocket. I didn't see it come through right away. But I shared it with this other couple at our table.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Willie Agata's playing with Alan Pulido. So that's new and somewhat exciting because Willie's going to go free Willie. Like, he's going to go fast.
Free Willie.
Free Willie, dude. And then Alan, I was like, Alan's going to be able to drop back as he tends to do, as we've kind of talked about over the week. So for a while, I was very excited about it. It was fun.
Well, and I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think there is a lot of potential. What, have you not heard that phrase?
No, what the fuck does that mean?
You've never heard this phrase? This is a common phrase.
No, this is
the baby out
calling the child services on you, sir.
I think it's like
you are not babysitting ever.
It comes, it's like an old, like, Renaissance era phrase because, you know, back in the day when there was no running water, history lesson with Jimmy here, when there's no running water and whole families had to share a bathtub that they would fill one time, it would typically start with the dad. The dad would go first, then the mom, and then the oldest son, all the way down to the children. So by the time the baby would get a bath, the water was most dirty, and then they would dump the bath water out into the road. So the phrase "don't dump the baby out with the bathwater" just kind of became a saying because, you know, the baby was in the bathtub and it was potentially dirty water. But you don't want to throw out what's good with all the bad. So don't dump the baby out with the bathwater.
Unbelievable that that's what you're saying right now. Is that okay?
This is a real thing.
This is a lesson, folks.
Producer Nick knows.
Yeah, I see it. Nick's young though. He's got that new age history lesson at school.
He's very worldly though.
He's worldly. Never been outside of Kansas right now. Everybody was saying he doesn't travel. We need to get Nick to fucking Disney World, bro.
Okay. travel around Epcot and so you've been to
ACSN Disney World trip.
Okay. I can do it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is there were some good things that came with this formation change. You could call it a 4-2-3-1. You could call it a 4-5-1. Sometimes it flexed into a 4-3-3, but this was very clearly a different style of attacking play. And it was kind of born out of necessity somewhat because Johnny Russell was out with a hamstring injury. Was it a hamstring? I don't remember what this
I think
he
so.
Was questionable.
Questionable. He was going to keep him out.
Right. So Johnny was out. Kyrie, as we know, is out. So that doesn't leave a lot of options on the right wing. It leaves Moreno Giannis, who has, you know, let's put out a missing persons report because he is nowhere to be found. I mean, he was on the bench technically, but
he was there. He was in the building.
We did, by the way, get an email from Andrew McPherson, one of our longtime listeners.
I screenshotted that.
Yeah, and Andrew said, hey, guys, what is going on with Giannis? He isn't even playing for SKC2. Is he injured? Just bad? Did he make Peter and Benny both super mad? Why are we wasting a U22 spot? And
valid concern.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sitting here and say I know 100% for certain what's happening with Moreno Giannis, but I have no indication, and I've asked a little bit, I have no indication that there's an injury there. I think it's just out of favor. He is not doing what players like Stephen Afrifa or Alinis Vargas even did in the preseason where they came in ready to work, and Moreno Giannis, from what I heard, wasn't quite there. And unfortunately, that's been sort of a consistent theme with him throughout his time with SKC, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's not with SKC for many more years into the future.
I don't want to say out of favor because he was there. He was in the lineup. Players that fall out of favor are not in the lineup.
Well, this was the first time he was in the 18 or sure. 20, whatever it is, that he was, and I think it was out of injury necessity. And yeah. Alinis Vargas was gone because he was with the Honduran national team.
He is.
Johnny Russell was injured. Kyrie Shelton's injured. You know, of those four, Marino Shanice is the fourth option.
The way you're talking, injured, like this just sounds familiar. And I really hope it doesn't get any worse because it's really early. And also, it's early, too early for people to be calling for Vermees to be fired right now. But I just want to throw that out there. That was a huge thing at the end of this game. People were all Vermees out this, Vermees out that. Well, you relax. LA is a good team, dude. Every team we've played is a good team, and we've lost one game.
LA might have the best midfielder in the entire league, not named Lionel Messi, in Ricky Pulisic.
And that striker, I mean, they just kept scoring. They weren't all on sides, but they just kept scoring.
Man, yeah, but we got to talk about that too here in just a little bit because, you know, they put two more balls in the back of the net. I think two were called off or offside.
Yeah.
We were living in by that offside flag and ultimately died by it.
How do you say that striker's name? Is it Jovojic?
Jovojic.
Oh, man, I'm so good. That's awesome.
So, he's great. Gabriel Peck, it was his first game starting for the Galaxy. He was a big-time signing for them in the offseason.
Now, Paintsil, everyone's all high on Paintsil.
Paintsil's so fast.
Ricky Pooge.
Paintsil just blew by some of our defenders a couple of times. And Ricky Pooge, like I said, he's small, he's tiny, but he comes from Barcelona. He played with Messi in Barcelona for a little bit. He's the best midfielder in MLS that's not named Lionel Messi. And he might be, if I were to pick one player in the league to build a team around, I might pick Ricky Pooge even over Lionel Messi if we're talking taking age into consideration. I'm taking Ricky Pooge. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There was a lot that happened. One thing I do want to say before we take our break real quick is there was some pretty cool enhancements to the pregame light show, which, full disclosure, I knew they were testing last game after the game. If you had stayed around the stadium for about an hour, you started hearing them testing some things, and you could see, couldn't quite see what was on the field, but I'd heard, hey, there might be some logos. Yeah, they were testing it after last week. And so they...
When there was a goal, it said goal on the field.
Said goal on the field. Before the game, there was the Sporting KC crest that was on there and was all going around and such. And so I want to give a shout-out, and by shout-out, I mean we're going to do our holiday distillery toast of the match to the stadium operations crew and everybody who worked on the new stadium enhancements, the lighting. I got here my Five Farms and Irish Cream from Holiday Distillery.
Nice.
I got my coffee with my Irish cream because it's a little chilly today. And yeah, shout out to them. Holiday Distillery, toast of the match to the stadium ops crew and all the employees who worked to create those match enhancements because they're awesome.
Coffee, though. You're trying to stay up till... Oh, you got a game to watch.
You do have a game to watch. It's about 9 p.m. So.
True. I'm not going to throw shade. I'm like, how late are you trying to stay up? Oh, never mind.
But they're cool. I love the enhancements. It's a great thing.
It was great, dude. Chris got there a little late and didn't see the light show. But when the goal happened, we were all just like, oh, it says goal. If I didn't know it was a goal, it says it right there.
It was pretty cool. So. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about the game.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is normally where I would insert some kind of witty story. But I can't get over the fact that we let in 3 goals in 8 minutes. That is all I want to talk about. It is that kind of collapse, dude, where we had a solid freaking game being put together here, a solid performance. I was very excited and very happy with everyone involved. Allen's taking great shots. Everyone's getting their shots saved. Like, we're putting stuff on goal, all for nothing.
Yeah. Because
of 8 stupid minutes.
8 minutes. It was really unfortunate. And Peter had a lot to say after the game. And it's interesting. Some people, you know, I was putting out some Peter quotes, and there are some quotes that they published on sportingkc.com, which they typically do. And a lot of people interpreted some of what Peter was saying as not taking accountability. And I'm not going to lie, that's not the vibe I got from Peter. There have been times where Peter has certainly sort of, you know, said that, you know, we played really well, or you know, this is on the players or whatever. I don't think he wasn't taking accountability. Some of the quotes that some people took issue with, there was one in particular. He said, "The sky is not falling, but we gave away a really big opportunity tonight." And I thought that's a pretty reasonable and nuanced assessment of what happened. I had some people that were like, "No, giving away a 2-goal lead, the sky is falling." I've had some people say, "See, he's saying that this was on the players. He should have said, I gave away a really big opportunity because I didn't change up tactics." There's criticism to go around, but Sure. Ultimately, Peter is not the one on the field. I know, yes, he can make some tactical changes and whatnot, but as we mentioned, a lot of injuries. There's only so far the bench can go, which that leads into another conversation about roster construction and everything. I know it snowballs. I did not get the sense from Peter in being in the room with the press conference, and I don't know if you listened to it or not, that he was trying to avoid accountability. I thought he was trying to say, look, the sky's not falling. There's plenty of season left. However, we gave our way a really big opportunity because he also knows how important it is to get 3 points at home from these early games, and they blew it.
Dude, they played excellent soccer. They put together one hell of a performance. The whole game was just good. I was like, I really like what I'm seeing right now. I have no problems. And it's just the fact that this 8 to 10 minutes or whatever it was, it just killed us.
Yeah.
And that's so frustrating. Like, what was more frustrating, bro, is when they had a goal called offsides and we're all like, yes, offsides, let's go. You don't even have time to celebrate the offsides because they came down and scored one that didn't count.
Doing it again. Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, that was so fast. They just could score when they wanted to. And they, what about that one goal where it went off like 4 different people's heads, like a bunch of dumb seals, and then someone then someone smacks it into the net?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Get the ball out of there.
Yeah, it was tough. you know, Peter, the other quote that some people didn't like that he had was, he said, "I thought we were good, but that 10-minute span just crushed us."
Yeah.
And yeah, they were better in the first half than they were in the second half, by and large, obviously. But if you look at opportunities in the second half, they still had goals. Willie had chances to score in the second half. Sporting created chances in the second half. They didn't convert them into quality shots quite in the same way that they did in the first half. So you don't see the XG get boosted in the same way in the second half that it did. But, you know, a couple of tweaks here and there. Willie's a little bit more selfish with a chance in the second half. Maybe that's a third goal. You know, there's
passing. Willie's passing is not great.
There's a little bit of crispness. Missed some passes. So there were opportunities. But I don't know. Let's.
What do you want Peter to do, man? He said it in the presser. He said, "I can't call timeout and like regroup and change stuff up." And anyone saying that he should have made more subs other than putting in Steven Afrifa, which I think is great. I think Afrifa's got a lot of speed and add something else to the team. Who else did you want to come in off that bench with who was available? Absolutely nobody. I didn't see anybody on that bench that I would care to have come influence that game in some way.
Well, so the only one that I could think is maybe rather than but this is sort of looking back with hindsight's 2020, because you could argue like, well, they brought in Afrifa when they were chasing a goal. They needed another goal scorer. But maybe before that, like when, okay, they've scored their two goals, maybe bring in another midfielder. Because we had done a really good job containing Ricky Pooj for about 70 minutes, and then it kind of started to break up a little bit. So maybe, okay, if I take off Daniel Shallowy because he's starting to get tired, or I take off Eric Tommy and I bring in somebody like Felipe Hernandez who can help sort of cover ground in that midfield a little bit more, that's about the biggest thing. But, you know, there aren't a lot of fullbacks that are available, and I don't think Jake or Leibold were really the primary issues tonight. You're not going to sub off a center back, and it was the center backs that lost some people, although I will call out Leibold for his lack of hustle on one goal. I don't know. But yes, there were some tactics to change, but this is certainly not a fire Vermees game like I've seen.
No, and I'm going to give credit to LA, dude. They played so good. It was a phenomenal game to be at. You witnessed mm-hmm. five pretty great goals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't complain as far as that goes.
Yeah, for sure. They're a good team. What's ironic is, hey, let's go through the first half, and I'll tell you what I actually said to somebody at halftime. But Sporting Kansas City, they were looking pretty good. In the 12th minute, Alan Pulido, he almost had a goal of the year candidate with a bicycle kick from just around about the penalty spot. He gets that another 6 inches higher, and that's getting past the Galaxy keeper, and this game's 1-0 in the 12th minute. So,
listen, Daniel had a shot on goal, too, and he skied it, and Daniel doesn't sky goals. He doesn't do that.
Right.
That's what I kind of knew. I was like, something's off here.
That was a tough one. That was even before the bicycle kick. He had it about, you know, 5-6 yards out, a little bit of an angle. But, you know, it's one that he would like back to put on frame.
I want to say something else. Seeing Redoya and Agata have our goals,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily our goal scorers. I mean, it's not the Daniels, the Allen, the Johnny. So I just kept watching Daniel and Allen because you kind of knew they were hungry. You know, they're like, well, I need to get a goal. I need to contribute. But it just unfortunately never happened.
They had opportunities, but it wasn't quite there. Allen was a little off tonight, too. He's not been super sharp this year.
You like Tim Leibold? I'm not ignorant.
I like Tim Leibold in the attack.
He's physical, too.
I think Tim Leibold leaves a lot to be desired on the defensive side of things, which unfortunately is not a great thing to say for a defender.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I mean, we're missing Denbe a little bit, obviously.
Yes.
But Leibold, I'm not mad.
I'm not mad. We'll talk about it when we get to one of these other goals that they scored, but there are just some times where I don't see Leibold hustling quite as I'd like him to see, or I like to see him hustle. There's other times where he gets caught a little bit too far upfield, I think, because he's so focused on the attack sometimes, which is, to be fair to Leibold, part of Vermees' system is the fullbacks push up in the attack and sort of overlap with the wingers. I don't know. Now, he did have the one great run where he just like ran basically down the middle of the field and ultimately took a pretty decent shot because nobody on the Galaxy decided to step to him. So,
yeah.
Hey, more power to you. He's got a leg.
Oh, yeah.
So, the Galaxy did almost score in the 29th minute, And, you know, we didn't have a player to choose that we, or that we felt we wanted to choose for our toast of the match. But if we were to choose a player, I would say it's probably Tim Melia, because in the 29th minute, he fell to his right. He blocked what could have been a goal off of a set piece, a header that should have been a shot across the bow for Sporting Kansas City.
He blocked one at the end of the game, too, which would have sealed it. It would have been 4-2, and our staged comeback that we're trying to have would just be over.
Yeah, this was not the faults of Tim Melia.
No.
Tim Melia did well. I mean, there's only so much that he can do when he's getting, you know, shots off set pieces or free balls in the box that are kind of making craziness happen. Sporting Kansas City, in the 34th minute, they did get, you know, you can call this a goal off of a set piece because it started off of a corner kick that Remy Voltaire took. It was a short corner that went to Eric Tommy. He tried to send it into the box. The ball bounces around a little bit. Daniel Shalloway fires it back toward the 6-yard line, and it's Nemanja Radoja, out of all of the players, who scores his first goal for Sporting Kansas City, tapping it in. And it was pretty cool because 1-0, SKC was the more dominant team up to that point, and they got rewarded.
But how we're saying his name? Because I feel like we've been lied to.
Well, it does appear that the pronunciation has changed. What we were led to believe.
Something has changed in the atmosphere.
I didn't know if you were going to call it out or not, but we have.
You said it, and I was like, I heard that in the stadium, too. And I'm like, I've been told a lie somewhere.
For most of last year, if not all of last year, they were saying Nemanja Radoja.
Which he just decided to correct them?
Well, I think this year it seems there's been more of an emphasis that it's not Radoja, it's Radoja.
I like that better.
Yeah, which is why they call him Rado, too. You can just call him Rado.
Radoja sounds more like if I was Brad Pitt's character on Inglourious Basterds. Nemanja Radoja.
Yeah. So he's Nemanja Radoja.
Okay, I'm in.
So, but hey, he got his first goal.
Yes, he did. And we're scoring off corner kicks, dog. What is happening?
Yeah, this has been almost the exact opposite of what's happened for Sporting Kansas City in years past, where they weren't getting a lot of goals off of set pieces. Now we have one off of Danny Rosero against San Jose. We now have one off of Nemanja Rado. It's going well. And then, again, just before halftime, off of a corner kick, again, Daniel Shalloway takes it. It kind of falls. I'm not convinced Willy Agata even saw the ball before it landed on his foot and bounced into the goal. He looked just as surprised as everybody. But hey, that's what happens sometimes in soccer. You'll take it. And it's 2-0 just before half.
Feels good. Felt real good. I was like, I the only thing better would be 3-0, man, because you just know it's not enough sometimes. And LA, everyone's like, LA is going to be good, dude. LA's looking flashy. They just haven't won a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be good this year. They might be something to look at and look for them to start climbing the standings.
Yeah. Yeah. They look pretty good. There was the dominance that Sporting Kansas City showed in the first half is sort of hard to understate. And that's why this game was so frustrating. If you looked at FotMob at halftime, because MLSsoccer.com doesn't update XG live as it happens. But if you looked at FotMob, who uses a slightly different XG model, halftime Sporting Kansas City was up 2-0. They had 2.28 expected goals, which was more than they had all season, even at halftime. And this was the kicker. And this is what I said. I talked to somebody in the press box because I was like, this is a pretty great half. They mentioned the goals. And I was like, what excites me more was how well the defense played. At halftime, the defense had given up 0.07 expected goals to the Galaxy.
Insane.
And that's a good attack that they kept. And one of the best midfielders in the league that they kept bottled up to 2 total shots, 1 on target, 0 big chances. That's pretty good.
It's amazing, dude.
And I felt real good.
Did Peter mention the XG?
He actually asked in the room after. He was like, does anybody know what our XG is? And he kind of looked toward my direction, and I didn't know it exactly at the time. I was like, it was around 3. I don't know the exact number. MLSsoccer.com ends up saying it was 3.1.
That's what ours was?
Yes.
That's pretty wild. You know, it's not often you see someone underperform the XG. I mean, more often than not, people overperform their XG, right?
It, It probably evens out.
Okay.
Sporting had underperformed our XG a couple of times over the last few seasons, which was always the thing that you could point to, say, well, they're getting in the right spaces, they're just not finishing. And you hear, is finishing a skill or whatnot? And clearly, I think Sporting Kansas City fans will say, well, yes, finishing is very clearly a skill because we've been missing it at times over the last however many years. At halftime, XG, according to FotMob, almost exactly nailed it. It was 2-0, and XG was 2.28 to 0.07.
Wow.
So
we should have won this game at the end of the day. I mean, it's, what was their final XG?
If you look at MLSsoccer.com, I just had that up here. The final XG for the game was 3.1 to 2.2. So they added almost an entire, 2.2 goals of XG in the second half. And we added about one.
So, I mean, based on our play, we were expected to win that game, is essentially what that says.
Based on the amount of shots that were taken, the chances that were created, Kansas City created overall better offensive chances on the whole than the Galaxy did.
Man,
but like we said, Willie, if he's not too selfish in the second half and doesn't pass that ball off, there's another one where I believe it was Tommy. It was either Tommy or Jake Davis that whipped a ball in, and Willie was set up perfectly in the box, and he was about to strike it, and Allen stepped right in front of him and kind of took it away, and it was too heavy. And like, if you leave that for Willie, that might be a goal right there. And there just were little moments like that where the timing was off or the chemistry was off. And maybe it's because the formation isn't what they were used to, but it wasn't quite clicking in the second half the way it did in the first.
It was the one where Willie probably should have shot it. The pass was going to be amazing, but he like overshot the pass, like way too heavy.
Missed Eric, Tommy.
But it was a good decision, in my opinion. I mean, that's the pass to have, and now Eric is centered on goal, and it's done deal, you know?
Yeah, I thought he had a pretty good shooting lane. He could have taken it. If he hits the pass, obviously, then Eric's got to tap in. So yeah. I get why he did it. It's not the most egregious of decisions. He's just not the greatest passer.
He doesn't play all the time either. We can't even give this guy crap because he doesn't get the opportunities that we think he should. And I want to see more of this formation. I don't hate this.
That's the thing where I meant with the whole don't throw the baby out with the bathwater thing is this formation created by nearly three times the most XG that Sporting KC has had on the year so far. And Allen, as we've talked about, as a striker, naturally likes to drift back. And Eric Tommy,
typical striker behavior.
He's more of he plays really well underneath. If he was a second striker under Agata, I think it would be fine. But really at this, especially at his age now, he'd be a fantastic number 10. And Eric Tommy's got the ability to play on the wing. Johnny Russell, I know he's the captain, but having the ability to rotate Johnny and Eric Tommy on the wing, or Johnny Shallowy and Tommy across those two wing spots to keep them all fresh, because Johnny obviously is getting a little bit of an injury history now over the last few years with his age. Shallowy at times has had hamstring or lower body strains. So being able to keep them all fresh, especially with League's Cup, would not hate that if we saw Pulido and Agata more often. Now, if you're going to do that, then you need to find another striker. You need to find another number 10. You need to find somebody, maybe even another winger, to bring in the summer transfer window, because you can't have Agata being your primary striker and Pulido being your primary number 10, and they're also both, your two best striker options as well. But something's got to give.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. But it got really frustrating, missing chances. Agata missed another chance that was kind of point-blank range that he almost chipped over the Galaxy goalkeeper in the 53rd minute. It got really frustrating. 57th minute is when the Galaxy scored their first goal. Jovalich, or so we thought, got called back for being offside. But it was off a corner kick. Should have been a warning shot. Again.
Yeah.
Every week we're here talking corner kicks or set pieces. It's frustrating.
It is.
Timilia actually even called it out. Obviously, this one didn't count. But there was another goal that was given up off of a set piece, and the ball was kind of bouncing around. I believe it was their second goal. Timilia after the game, he was like, gave up another corner kick goal. I don't like that. Or another set piece goal. I'm not happy about that. It sucks because we did so many things well in that game. We dictated a lot of the way that we wanted to play. Ultimately, you can't blow a 2-0 lead at home. So he's right. It just sucks.
Yeah.
It was the 71st minute where things really got a little scary. Jovalich dribbled the slowest moving shot I've ever seen across the face of goal, and Melia almost like bear crawled to like barely tip it out. Unfortunately, even though he did get to it, it was the ensuing corner kick where the ball just kind of bounced around, couldn't really clear it, and ultimately they kick it into the bottom right corner of the net, and there's not much Chimelia can do about it.
Dude, I want to call out a couple of miscellaneous things real fast. We were offsides 0 times. The discipline our strikers have to stay onsides is crazy, and when it kept happening in the Galaxy, I'm like, will you guys just be better? Like, that's your job, you know, stop being offside. But also, Tim Melia just said, oh, man, I don't even know how many corner kicks they had. It had to have been 10 or 11. It was exactly 11. And Tim Melia is just spot on. He knew exactly how many corner kicks because that's how many times he was pissed off.
Yeah. He's not wrong. It was Zabaleta who scored the first one. And then there was another goal that Jovalich put in the back of the net. Where this one was weird. I've never seen this happen. It ended up being blown offside. The AR did not single offside. He was running back to the center circle with his flag down to indicate onside. It was the center referee who raised his arm and was like, no, that was an offside. And I don't know if he got something in his ear or what, but it's very strange. You can see it. If you go to the highlight package that MLSsoccer.com has put up, you can actually see it happen. Where Jovalich scores, it's at about the 4 minute and 52 second mark of the package. You actually see the ref running back, and then center ref puts his arm up offside. Now maybe the AR,
right?
This one was also offside. Maybe the AR said something into the center ref's headpiece. I don't know. It was interesting. This one was offside, but then it was just mere minutes later where a very similar situation happens and they do get their second goal. And now suddenly in a span of like 4 minutes, it went from 2-0 to 2-2. And now you're just hoping that you can salvage a draw. Because at that point, even though it would have felt like a loss, at least you would have gotten something.
Bro, momentum was on their side. Done deal. They could have went up 2 goals. You know, they had every right to do that. Because we were looking like really on the back foot. Like, okay, how do we deal with this? They're coming. They're coming hard and fast. Didn't matter, man. We didn't have enough. You know?
Yeah, it was really hard to watch Jovalich do almost the exact same thing a minute apart where you got lucky where he was offside in the first one, and then he just did it again in the exact same way. And then just minutes later, Jake Davis, you know, goes to ground in a way that he probably shouldn't. Peter said as much. And once you go to ground and leave your feet, there's no recovering. Ball sent across the face of goal. Marky Delgado's there. This is where I got pretty mad at Tim Leibold. He just was trailing and not at all running with Marky Delgado. It's initially flagged offside. I don't know what the AR was looking at again. It was very much onside. And, at that point, the rest is history.
Good times. We all had fun. Nobody got hurt.
Did we? So, unfortunately, Sporting Kansas City falls. That was not a game. This was not a scheduled loss. This was not a game that should have been anything less than a draw. Peter Vermees was obviously unhappy in the post game. He was relatively calm, but he was unhappy. And it's just pretty frustrating. And now they got to go on the road to Toronto, which is not going to be, you know, an easy trip. The last few times we've played them, it's all ended up in draws. And Toronto just beat Atlanta United 2-0 last week. So I can't sit here and say I'm feeling overly confident about traveling up to Toronto.
The next 3 games, I'm not confident. I could look at it right now and say, man, I could see us losing at Toronto. Oh, I could see Portland coming to town and beating us. I could see Miami coming to town and beating us. And the fact, I don't think I feel confident enough until we play St. Louis on 420. Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them. Toronto's a pretty decent team. They've got 10 points through 5 games. That's 2 points per game. They don't have a crazy attack. They've scored 5 goals through 5 games, so their offense isn't the best. They've also only allowed 2 goals through 5 games. They have a very stout defense. So what I will say is I feel pretty confident that if Sporting can put 2 goals in the back of the net, there's a pretty good chance to get a result. But you know, that will be difficult. Toronto's 2-0-0 at home. Like I said, a very stout defense. This is not necessarily going to be an easy one. I don't know what the weather in Toronto will be like, but it can obviously be cold there, although it was pretty cold this last week. I would, obviously, you go on the road, you hope for a draw. But when you drop stupid games at home like you did against the Galaxy, some of those road draws have to turn into road wins. And this might be one of them where you got to turn it around.
It'd be nice, right? I mean, we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, just because with Toronto not being the high-powered attack that Sporting KC has faced with some other teams, there is an opportunity, I think, to steal this one on the road. If Sporting's attack plays the same way they did this past week, defense just has to get it together. Series on the whole, Sporting has 14 wins to Toronto's 4, so Sporting definitely has the advantage there. They've won in Toronto before. So, you know, if last year's Sporting KC team could go on the road and beat Seattle on the road, this year's team can go to Toronto and do it. I'm not saying it will happen, but when you lose dumb games like the Galaxy game, you kind of put more pressure on yourself to go do it.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, man. It's pretty frustrating that this is kind of the way it went.
We got to think like the players are probably thinking too. You just wash your hands, move on. We got another one coming. It's too early to be this pissed. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Just the way that it happened. That's why I'm so like, oh my God, that's frustrating. But it's way too early in the season to be mad.
It's the way it happened. And I think I get that people have, you know, PTSD, if you will, not to be insensitive to people who have actual PTSD, but like they remember how the beginning of the year last year sort of set the rest of the season up to essentially be like a 5-month-long playoff run where it was like there's really no room for error now. And so missing opportunities like they did on Saturday where you have a 2-0 lead with 20 minutes left and you blow it, those points can come back to bite you quite a bit once it comes playoff time. So I fully agree with Peter's assessment. Sky is not falling, but they gave away a big opportunity. I am not sitting here calling for Peter Vermees to lose his job. I know that they're still actively out there looking for a new sporting director type position that can do more of the roster construction, recruiting to allow, which would still report up through Peter if the structure is the same as when they hired Gavin Wilkinson for a week. But that would allow Peter to focus less on that and more on the coaching. I think that's what a lot of people are calling for. So I would like to see that happen sooner rather than later. But if it's me and I'm the team and I'm the players and I don't want to hear more of the outside noise, go on the road and get a win in Toronto.
That'd be nice, man. We'll swap, see what happens.
It will. Did you watch any of the other MLS games last week? I know, you know, it was a home game, so you might not have been able to catch some of them like you do normally when they're road games. But
I got some takes, man.
You got some takes?
First of all, Red Bulls might be good. Red Bulls might be a decent team. Beat Miami 4-0.
Yeah,
it was a soaked, it was a very rainy game too.
There's right? No Lionel Messi.
Yeah, LAFC also might be mother. LAFC.
they're good.
Yeah,
they're very good. They beat Nashville 5-0. I think in the worst loss that Nashville's had in their MLS existence.
And Seattle bad. Seattle could be bad.
Seattle not good.
Yeah.
At least not right now.
Not at all.
They gave up 3 goals to San Jose, who gets their first points of the year. Granted, it was in San Jose, but this is it's and Charlotte beat Columbus 2-0, the reigning MLS Cup champions. There were some weird results that happened in this week of MLS. So
wild, man. They still have not won a game. Neither has Austin, though. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And again, because MLS playoff standings, not that we're, you know, taking these as gospel now because there's such a long road to go, but Sporting Kansas City are technically still in a playoff spot as of this moment, even with the disappointing results. What's very, very, very frustrating is if they would have held on to that win, they would be in second place in the Western Conference with 9 points instead of the Galaxy. Instead, they are in ninth place with 6 points. Just frustrating.
It's always nice to see when you're up higher, of course. But like I said, everyone, this does not matter right now. This does not matter.
We're still at the point where one result can flip the table almost on its head.
And we're still at the point where, like, even scoring two goals and a loss should be confidence builders. You scored two goals. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something, you know?
There are positives to take.
I'm all about it, man. I noticed the early stages of the U.S. Open Cup are off and running as well.
Yeah, there are some interesting results that are happening.
I love seeing those teams, by the way. I love seeing the teams I've never heard of before.
Those are fun. It's also fun to see Austin fans calling for Josh Wolf to be fired at an Austin FC2 game that he is not coaching. But that did happen because they are unhappy. Yeah.
Because they lost a 4-0 SC.
They lost a 4-0 SC on penalty kicks. There were just some interesting results. Unfortunately, El Farolito, a team from San Francisco, named after a burrito shop, beat the Portland Timbers 2.
That's so, burrito. That's a burrito team.
That's a burrito stand.
Oh my God! If we weren't in the U.S. Open Cup, that's my team.
That's your team is El Farolito. Yeah, of course.
That's like when that team that owned like a liquor store, they had like a beer league team, and they were in the Open Cup. I love that shit.
Yeah. So I mean, there's still a lot of fun results. Des Moines. They are the team that signed Sasha Kljestan for the U.S. Open Cup, which is weird. The Des Moines Menace, and they advanced on penalty kicks 5-4. So Sasha
Kljestan play.
Sasha converted a penalty kick for the Des Moines Menace. So he's having one more run.
Doesn't he work for MLS Soccer?
He started the game at right back.
Does he not work for the league?
He does work for MLS Soccer. He works on MLS 360, but also he's like, I'll go have an Open Cup run with the Des Moines Menace.
I'm going to go play a game real quick, and then I'm going to show up and do my job.
I'll be, you know, and it's funny because he's not the only name that you'll recognize. Luis Arriaga, he's on the Des Moines Menace. He's played MLS minutes. And goalkeeper, Brian Rowe, who used to play for the Galaxy alongside Sasha Kljestan, I believe. He's also for the Des Moines Menace. So the Des Moines Menace have just kind of grabbed a team of old players and like, yo, you want to, should we get the band back together?
You know why this is fun? You know why it's easy to mention those players? Because they're the only ones who have pictures on the game lineup.
Exactly. What I was
It's like, these are the ones you know.
Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, it's fun. It is fun to see some of these teams that like, you don't typically get to hear about or get to know and be able to watch them play on streams online. So good for them. You got Bernie Sanders tweeting about the U.S. Open Cup because the Vermont Green FC beat Lexington SC. So
yeah, that was weird. I what's he up to?
He's doing something. I don't know.
So
I don't know, man. It's just it's an interesting time to be an MLS fan. There is some news on the referee strike front. There was reporting by Glenn Crooks and confirmed by Jeffrey Carlisle of ESPN that was saying that at least earlier in the day on Monday, the PSRA was voting on a new tentative agreement. Voting ends Monday at midnight Eastern time, so it's still going. But Jeff followed that up and he said, quote, "Not to take a trip to Negative Town, but I'm told that the tentative agreement being voted on by the PSRA is a 7-year agreement that would carry through both the current World Cup cycle and the next. Not every PSRA member is pleased with this, I'm told, but we'll see how the voting goes."
Okay.
So.
Sounds fun.
Could be that we're going to get some of the regular refs back soon, or it could be that this will continue to go on. So we shall see.
All right.
The other game that I want to touch on before we leave is this 2-0 once again thrashing of the Mexican national team by the U.S. men's national team in the CONCACAF Nation League's final at AT&T Stadium Sunday night. Did you get a chance to watch this by chance?
No, I did not.
I'm sure you've seen Tyler Adams' goal just before halftime. There was like 20 seconds left before halftime. Tyler Adams gets the ball. Oh, good. It was, you know, 30 yards out, it felt like. And he just, on an absolute laser that went through the legs of a sliding Mexican defender, right past Memo Ochoa, who's somehow still playing soccer, and puts the U.S. up 1-0 at halftime.
That's wild.
Just an absolute crazy screamer.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, ultimately, the U.S. men's national team went up 2-0 after Gio Reyna, of all people, scored a goal, which also shout out to Christian Pulisic because he took this ball on the end line. And you remember a couple weeks ago when Messi sort of chipped the ball over a man who was hurt on the field?
Yeah.
There wasn't a Mexican player who was hurt on the field, but he slid and Pulisic chipped the ball over him along the end line and then cut the ball back where Gio Reyna ultimately got the ball and put it into the corner of the net to give the U.S. the 2-0 final scoreline.
Outstanding.
So this is, it was very fun to watch. Gio Reyna and Greg Berhalter hugged when he came off the pitch. I don't know if that was for the cameras or what, but they're trying to make it seem like they're friendly again. Ultimately, the game devolved, and there were numerous happenings of the homophobic chant that the Mexican fans tend to yell during a goal kick. The game was stopped by Drew Fisher twice. Every time they stopped the game or made an announcement, the fans just did it louder. It was clear that they, at that point, were trying to get the game stopped. So CONCACAF protocol is not working. Just kind of sucks. But
it's unfortunate that, you know, this world is filled with dickheads. Mm-hmm. And they see something that they think is funny. And it's like, you know, grow the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny. You know,
well, how are you? And I saw some people, because I was like, they need to stop the game. But then at a certain point, I saw some people mentioning this, and I think this is actually true. At a certain point, the Mexican fans were doing it on purpose in an attempt to get them to stop the game. And you give fans power to literally impact what's happening on the field. And if they want to be assholes or dickheads, like you said, they're going to continue to be assholes. The only way to get them to stop doing it is to have it actually impact results in the field, or not just results in the field, have it actually impact the ability of their team to play on the field. So if CONCACAF really wants to stop it, you know what's a great way to send a message? Send out a release tomorrow that says, after repeated violations of CONCACAF's protocols, the Mexican Football Federation has been disqualified from the Copa America this summer. They are not allowed to participate. That'd go a lot farther than stopping the play for 5 minutes and letting them just chant it louder.
It would. It doesn't really... Yeah, nothing's really going to work, you know what I mean? So...
That's the unfortunate part, probably.
It is, man. I just, and if you have friends that are doing it, and you're not like checking them, you're kind of a problem too. Yeah. Like, I mean, we all have those family members that like say some insensitive shit or some incorrect shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a good enough fucking son or cousin or whatever, you check them. You say, hey, that's not right. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to educate you on that.
I'm sure we've all had experience with having to deal with stuff like that. It's not a...
We've all had it. Sometimes it's an old dog, new trick situation, and it doesn't matter, but at least you tried.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it was a really fun night to be a U.S. soccer fan. Anytime the U.S. and Mexico play, it's a fun night. It ends in 2-0 because, of course, the most famous scoreline in the history of U.S. soccer against Mexico. They win a Nations League Cup. There's been like 480 minutes of shutout soccer from the U.S. the last however many times they've played Mexico. Like this is a turning of tides, if you will, in terms of who's the real power in CONCACAF. And I'm not going to sit here and give Greg Berhalter all the credit in the world because it required a last second own goal against Jamaica to even get here. But he seems to do a good job against a Mexican team that's struggling to find its identity now, and that counts for something. So hopefully they can continue to carry this momentum into 2026.
Yeah, man, that'd be nice.
We'll see. But that's about all I got this week. You got anything else you want to talk about?
You know, I was kind of looking at the schedule for the weekend. No games really jump out at me as like a must watch, you know? I'd be most interested to see how Nashville jumps back against a really good Columbus team.
Teams are going to be angry.
Yeah, they just got 5 dropped on them, and Columbus is very good. So that's interesting. Other than that, I think Miami Don't they play someone?
Miami's at home against New York City.
And New York's not doing well. So I do kind of assume Miami will put it to them.
In Seattle, they're going to have a difficult game because they've been struggling, and now they have to go play in Carson, California against the Galaxy on the road. So at a certain point, if the Sounders can't get a result, they're sort of looking at what happened to Sporting KC last year is happening to them, where they will have gone through five games, potentially only having 2 points through five games, sitting dead last in the conference.
Hey, look at me. Look at me. Good. Not good. All right. Enjoy that. It's fun.
There's no Ladero this year, and suddenly the wheels are falling off because he's out in Orlando.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's a wild one, but unfortunately, didn't get the victory pod this week. Hopefully, we'll be able to flip things on its head, come back, steal a win in Toronto. We'll see. It's going to be a tough one. But, yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Send us an email like Andrew McPherson did, NoOtherPod@gmail.com. Leave us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer. And make sure you check out Currently. The Current are just crushing it. They beat the two top finishing teams from last year already, and now they got another good one on Saturday. So check out Currently with Dan and Chris before that game. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.